You may be seated. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1, beginning to read in verse 26. Let's just pray together before we look into the Word here. Thank you again, dear God, for your Word. Father, we thank you for the good group that's gathered here this morning. I pray, Father, that you would indeed speak to our hearts. We'd be encouraged. Just thank you again for your Word. Thank you for the good gift of Christ to pay the penalty for our sin, and that we can celebrate his birth during these days. In Christ's name, amen. Verse 26, Luke 1, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, every year about this time, number of things happens. It gets cold, it snows, it rains. We talk about the weather last year. Now, apart from one or two of you, how many of you actually can really remember the weather last year? It isn't something that I spend a lot of time thinking about. But I want to tell you, you know, if you have Morris, you don't need a history. He was talking to me this morning about some of the weather last year. It dawned on me, oh yeah, I remember that. And that's one of the things we do. We talk about Christmas. We complain about the commercialization of Christmas. And, you know, there's just certain things that we do, certain seasons. And I started to look at this portion of Scripture, and we often look at this. And as I looked at this portion, I thought to myself, you know, year after year we go through these early chapters in the Gospels, and we look about the fact that the angels made the announcement. We talk about wise men and on and on and on. But as I looked at this portion of Scripture, a number of things came to my mind here, especially in verse 1. And I want to just look at this and some things I thought I would share this morning. It says, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, what I got thinking, how many of you saw the moon the other night and you could see Jupiter and Venus? Do you remember seeing them? It was sort of a strange arrangement, and someone pointed out to me, Look at those stars. They're interesting. My first impression, they're not stars, they're aircraft. I thought I'd look again, and they're aircraft of the hovering type that don't move. They've been there for a long time. They must be stars, but I can't remember ever seeing them exactly like that before. I never thought about it much again. And then I got thinking about something that I had read the other day, and then I had heard on the news, and it was this idea of what was seen and photographed on Mars. And the idea was other life forms. They saw something on Mars that may have or may not have been a fossil, and if it was a fossil, there used to be life on Mars, they concluded. And I thought, this is interesting, and my mind went to these guys, they're called astronauts. And it's fun to look at history, and this is just introductory this morning as to where we're going. I wouldn't worry about it too much, but I want you to think just a little bit. Those astronauts that went to the moon in 1969, did they see, like, on their way, did they see any other life form? And I started thinking about this whole thing and what we're sometimes told. And those of you who have been here more than once probably have concluded, I don't necessarily have the faith maybe that I should have in the science of our day. Reason is this. I got thinking about it. If I were an astronaut, or if you were an astronaut, I want you to imagine this. It's 1969 and you were chosen to go to the moon. Okay, so the idea is they put you, you're going to get in this capsule, and you would train for, you know, all this stuff that you will do. You're going to splash down in the ocean after you get back from Mars, or the moon. You're going to go to the moon, a place where no one has ever been. You can't practice landing on the moon where there's no gravity. You have to just do that first time without practice. In a spaceship that can't land on the Earth. So you're going to get in a spaceship that can't land on the Earth. You're going to go and you land on the moon and you're going to bring back some rocks. That's what they did. But they didn't see anything. I don't know what they saw or what they didn't see. And then I got thinking about it. These Russians. I don't know if you like or don't like Russians. I think the Russians have come over and the idea is to make sure that my hockey team don't win. But there's other things that they can do. I also was reading, do you know that NASA spent millions of dollars to develop a pen that will write every time without the presence of gravity? And I thought, they spent millions of dollars for that. You know what cosmonauts use? Pencil. You can get them at the dollar store, box of 50 for, you know, a tenth of a cent type thing. And I got looking at all this, I got thinking about how everything works. And how we look at and we have become absorbed, and because of evolution and all this stuff and everything that science has taught, it can be a little bit confusing, because I will stop and think of, this is what I think about this, this, and this, but if I start to examine, where did I get my ideas? Some of my ideas I got from Scripture, some of my ideas, it's just those things that everybody knows. And we learned them mostly from some secular scientist who had come to these conclusions for whatever reason. And things can be confusing. And it was this was brought to my attention the other night, and I enjoyed the last, well, for a number of times, actually, since September, I've had the privilege of sharing a little Bible lesson with our youth, with the teens on Friday night. And I found them really interesting this Friday night in particular. I'm not sure what the reason was, but this week I was a little less excited to go than I had been in the past. And I sat down and I started to prepare, and I got thinking, and can you imagine, I want you to imagine this, how hard on a pastor the teens can sometimes be. I only started into my message for a few minutes, and one young guy says, "You're confusing." I'm confused. And I thought, why would anybody be confused, or why is this confusing? I was just looking at what the Bible said and what I'd done, and I thought, I wonder if I were to ask the same things to this group, would you be confused? I want you to think of two familiar verses as we go through this morning. John chapter 3, verse 16, most of you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave, what did he give? He gave his only begotten Son. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life is the gift, but God gave his Son. Now, is the Son the gift, or is eternal life the gift? And then it says this eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I just gave them a simple test as I started to think about this. I had a box. It was a gift. So I asked everyone, what is this? And I made the mistake of telling them that a turkey came in the box. They said, it's a turkey. Does it look like a turkey to you? No. Well, what does it look like? It looks like a gift. Okay, then what is it? It's probably a gift. I said, but no, it isn't a gift. Then I just did something like this. I'll ask you, what is this? Are you sure? No, it is a watch, but do you know it's a gift? One time I had a box. It was all wrapped in fancy paper. And everything. And if I were to ask you what it was, you'd say it was a gift. When I opened it, this was in here. Now, which was the gift? And when you stop and you start to look at Scripture, sometimes you will do things and the critics will say that there's contradictions. There's no contradictions. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through what? Through the gift. The gift is eternal life through the Son. And I started thinking about these things, and I started looking at Scripture, this portion of Scripture, and I thought, every once in a while, we will pass over a verse or a few verses, and we will read through, and every one of us here today would understand, and we've already come to the conclusion, that how come Mary didn't have a nervous breakdown, and how Joseph made it through those difficult 9 months, was because an angel visited and gave them a message. The message was that this thing is of God, and the whole thing, we just read the message here in Luke chapter 1. And I started thinking about this, and I thought, you know, one of the things when you look at it, and as I watched the news the last little while, and this idea of Mars and a fossil on Mars, and the astronauts, what they see, what they didn't see, one of the questions that often is asked is, do we share the universe with some other intelligent life form? And the idea would be, is there life on Mars? Or is there life on some other planet? Is there life some other place besides here? Is there intelligent life some other place? If there is intelligent life some other place, are they friendly or are they unfriendly? Are they friends or are they foe? And as I started to look through this portion of Scripture and I started thinking about this announcement that was made, we sometimes miss when we go through that Mary was visited by an angel. And if I were to answer somebody right off the bat, yes, we do share the universe with some other life form. Yes, they are intelligent. Are they friends or are they foe? And the Bible answer is both. There are friendly angels and there are some unfriendly angels. There are some angels who are our friends or some angels who are not our friends. So, number one observation, if you want to call it that, that I made as I looked through this, I thought I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about the stuff that we already think about always when it comes to Christmas time. I got thinking about these creatures that share the universe with us that the astronauts didn't see, or if they did, they didn't tell anybody. And they're here, and they're very real. And in this case, this angel made an announcement to a girl by the name of Mary. The announcement was that Christ was going to be born, and his name would be Jesus, and so on. And as you think about that, we think in terms of, oh, this is a Bible character, and these things happen to Bible characters. This Bible character by the name of Mary was born the same as you. She had blood running through her veins, and she had bones that kept her shape together, and she was covered in flesh and the whole business. Mary was a sinner, even according to her own words. She calls him her God and her Savior. She needed a Savior, and she just happened to be unique among women because she was the woman that was chosen by God to give birth to the gift that would pay the penalty for the sins of mankind and so on. So number one, I just thought that we need to stop and think that yes, there is other intelligent beings that occupy this universe with us. We call them angels. Point number two is a little bit trivia, I guess, is angels are mentioned, according to Harold Wilmington, I took his word for it, it would take a long time to count all those angels, or every time it was mentioned, 273 times in Scripture the word angel is mentioned. An angel is a messenger, and it's unfair really to say that it's a messenger from God. Might be a messenger from God, might be a messenger from Satan, because angels are unique in a sense. Thirdly, we could say, and it's true, that angels were created. Psalm 148, verses 2 to 5, I just wrote that down. There are a number of references that would tell us that angels were created. And this presents a little problem, and it's kind of fun to look at, and I don't want to spend a long time on this morning. There are those who believe that angels were created before creation in a special creation. There are others who believe, and I happen to believe, as you look through Scripture, when you look at creation, and I trust that most of us here believe, and I have to be careful, I guess, how I say this. I wouldn't want to insult anybody, but if you understand the Bible, you would believe that creation took place a little over 6,000 years ago, and in six literal 24-hour days like we experience and have today, God created everything that exists. Now, just because it's suggested that angels watched creation doesn't mean that they weren't created during the week of creation. For example, if they were created on the first day, they had six more days or five more days to watch, and so on. And I don't want to get in a long song and dance about that. Simply this, the angels are intellectual, created, rational, thinking beings. They occupy the universe with us. As we look through Scripture, 273 times they're mentioned, and sometimes there are encounters like Mary had where angels in person, one-on-one, spoke with somebody. So I thought, okay, we can get by that. And as we look at angels, you know, the third point that I had this morning is they were created. Number four, we could say that angels are fixed. They're not a race. They're not a tribe. They're not a nationality. There's a fixed number of angels. We know that because two things that we do that they don't do is they don't die and they don't reproduce. So however many angels God created, that's how many there are. There's not going to be more. There's not going to be less. There's this many angels. God created them. So we can say there's a fixed number of angels. Number five, we could say that angels are spirits. And it's difficult for us sometimes to understand or think about the fact that what in the world is a spirit? And part of the problem with that is because of our own nature is, did you ever stop, contemplate how fleshly we are? Because see, we occupy bodies of flesh, but your being, you're a trinity. And when you look at it, there's a couple of places in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for one, makes mention of our body and our soul and our spirit. Hebrews chapter 4 mentions our spirit and our soul and our body. We're a trinity. We've got a sense-conscious body, a self-conscious soul, a God-conscious spirit. But we live in this body, so most of everything we do is to make our bodies comfortable. We live in the flesh. But the truth of the matter is, you're an eternal soul, and your soul, in how I'm speaking at the moment, is the immaterial part of you, which includes your self-conscious soul and your God-conscious spirit. You're eternal. There's an immaterial part to you. For example, we know from Scripture that when somebody dies, their body remains behind, but the person goes to, we'll put it this way, to their reward. They either are lost and go to a Christless hell, or they go to be with the Lord, and they're with the Lord forever. Their body is usually placed in the ground. So that's how the whole thing works. They're not married. They're not given in marriage. They don't reproduce. There's a fixed number. They're spiritual. They're spiritual beings. And I wrote down Psalm 104, verse 4, Hebrews 1, 7 and 14, and so on. When you say, and I also wrote down Revelation chapter 5 and 11, and along with being spirits, and because they're spirits, they're innumerable. We can't number them. There's in Revelation chapter 5, for example, other places speak of the multitudes of angels. There's more angels than we can number. I wouldn't want to guess how many angels there are, but there's a lot of them. The other thing that's interesting about a spirit is that they're invisible. And I've thought about it a number of times, and I don't know if I do. Maybe there's something wrong with me, but every once in a while, I just do that because whoever is around here, those spiritual beings, I like to hit them. Just to keep them conscious that they know that I know they're there. And so if you ever see me just walking along somewhere and I'm going like that, I'm hitting angels. Don't worry to think anything. Do you think that's possible, that where I reach there could be an angel? That there could be 50 angels? Can you imagine what it would be like if we could see the spiritual presence that would be around us on any given day? Here Mary was, and she had a conversation with an angel. I can't imagine in one sense what that would be like. it was unique in a sense that here she was, she found herself in a unique situation. The announcement came to her by an angel. God could have spoken to her by himself had he wanted to, but he chose to send an angel, and the angel spoke to her, and so on. I jotted down number 6, that they have personality. And as you would study through angelology, you would find that angels have intellect, they have emotion, and they have will. They have a personality. They have the same type of personality, in a sense, that we have, apart from the fact that they don't reproduce and they're invisible. They think and they feel and they plan and they do things. And I thought, you know, they're interesting creatures. And what happens when we look at a portion of Scripture like this, we're so caught up in it, it's good that we're interested in the fact that God sent Christ. And he sent him to pay the penalty for our sin, but we miss the point that the announcement came by one of these other creatures that occupy this universe with us. Other creatures that God created, and he put them here for a purpose. They shared the throne room of heaven with him for a purpose. Some of them still do. And they're around, and they spoke with Mary. And I started thinking about this, you know, an idea of angels having intellect. That tells me that although we can't see them, and although that apart from Scripture it would be very difficult for us to prove they were there, you try proving sometime to an unsaved person that angels exist. Somebody who would not believe in the spiritual world whatsoever, and try to prove to them that angels exist, you wouldn't be able to say, well, I saw one. Or if you did say that you saw one, or if you did see one, you wouldn't be able to prove that to somebody because of them being invisible and immaterial and that sort of thing. But they're intellectual as well. They're smart. They have emotion. And it's kind of interesting. We don't see a whole lot about it. And hello for terms of being confusing. As I was reading the other day, I discovered that the Apocrypha mentions other angels besides the 3 that are mentioned in Scripture. There's one, I thought he was a ninja turtle, Raphael. Well, Raphael is mentioned in the Apocrypha as an angel, and there's some others that are named, and it gets interesting as you start to look at this thing. And I thought, once again, here we are, here we have the picture that we base our salvation on this individual, his name was Christ, who was God manifest in the flesh. The announcement of his birth was made by an angel. That tells me that angels play an important role in the lives of humans. And we sometimes fail to realize or to think, and don't get bored and go to sleep yet, we're going somewhere with this. Because as I read this the other day, and being the kind of person that Bible teachers are, I thought there is a reason for this. There's a reason that this was recorded. It's on this page. And there's somehow that this could apply to my life today. And I thought, but what? We never talk about that. We never think about it. But I want you to keep in mind, once again, that angels, and this is one area of angelology that we don't think about very much, that having personality, that angels have intellect, they have emotion, and they have will. Number 7 I wrote down, and this is important, Daniel 10 and 12, and there's a number of places that we can get this. Angels are inferior to God. The wicked one, that's where he ran into some of his problems, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah chapter 14. But regardless of how powerful angels may be, they're immeasurably inferior to God. God created them. He made them. I have no clue what he made them out of. To my knowledge, it doesn't say. We were made from dust. I understand that. Angels must have been made from something else because there's no material to them. But here they are. They were created. They're inferior to God. That's important. Number 8, I wrote down that although they're inferior to God, they're superior to us. Psalm 90, verses 1 or 11, verses 13. There's a number of other references, but I didn't want to go too long on this. Okay, here we have this announcement that was made to an individual. Her name was Mary. Through her, the Savior, the Messiah, was going to be born. The announcement came from an invisible, normally, angel that would be superior to man but inferior to God. Now, in what ways would you suppose that angels would be superior to us? I started to think about this the other day. when you look at it and we think, and you would look at the angels and you would say, oh, they never die. That'd be great if we didn't have to die, wouldn't it? But let's keep in mind that although they never die, they also don't reproduce. That there will never be more of them. They don't marry. You think they'd be a lot less conflict, right? Is that what you're thinking? No? Well, think about it. They never marry. They never die. And here they are. They're this unique group of created beings. Although, when you stop and look at that and you think about it, some of the things that we look at and we think are negative can be really quite positive, and some of the things that we think are positive can be really quite negative. Having said that, one of the biggest curses that I think that we have as man is a free will. It's nice, I think, sometimes I think I can do what I want, I can think what I want. God has given me a free will, and my free will gets me in trouble lots of times. Angels, although their will isn't absolutely fixed, we know that because Satan and one-third of the angels fell. They rebelled against God. But do you know there's no redemption for them? Those angels that fell with Satan can't be saved. They won't be saved. They chose to be lost. They're lost forever. Two-thirds of the angel that remained faithful and stayed with God always will. And God has a program and a plan and a purpose for these creatures called angels. The word angel simply means messengers. And mostly what we see they do is that they're messengers, but they have other functions. There's things that angels do, and I started looking at this, and I started thinking, as you look through Scripture, there are times and periods when angels, you can see them that, you know, they made themselves known because they made special announcements, and so on. And as I looked through it, I thought, I need to ask myself a question. You need to ask yourself a question. I want to ask you this morning, you can shake your head. I just want to see where this is going to go. Have you ever had an encounter with an angel? Anyone ever had an encounter with an angel? And as I looked at this portion of Scripture, I thought, we are such interesting creatures. And this might seem strange to you, but I thought, you know, here we are, we look at this, and we think, oh, wasn't Mary, and I'll use the word, lucky? And angels spoke to her, angels never speak to me. And I think of a number of times and things that I've seen and experienced, and some of you, how many of you can remember Silas Fox? Well, Silas Fox was in a situation in India where he was about to get on a crowded train where there was no room for him. There wasn't any place that he could sit, and he absolutely had to be there, wherever it was he was going. And as he got to the train station, it was useless, it was hopeless, there's no way that I can get there. So a man came up to him, took him by the arm, says, aren't you Silas Fox? Yes, come with me. Led him through the crowd, gave him a seat on the train, he went to his destination. He would tell you that he was led to his destination by an angel. While we're talking about Silas Fox, I would have loved to have seen this. Mr. Dowie was telling me one time that he was at meetings with Silas Fox. After the meetings, they were both hungry, and he said to Mr. Dowie, why don't I take you out to supper? Okay, so they had ordered, then Mr. Dowie looked at him and said, do you have any money? No. But we've already ordered, and you don't have any money. None. No, not a cent. He said, but I don't have any money. And then he got the lecture of the Lord providing. So as he sat there at the restaurant with Silas Fox with no money, a man came over and said to them, aren't you Silas Fox? Yes. And you're Bob Dowie? Mm-hmm. I'd like to pay for your dinner. Now, he doesn't say that that was an angel. He looks at that as providence. But you know the truth of the matter, and I think sometimes, even as believers, we're fooled because of our fleshly thinking. And my mind went to a couple of other portions of Scripture that we failed to look at. Keep in mind that he has given his angels charge over us, so to speak. Now, the Bible would give us the indication that we would have or might have one or more than one guardian angel. All of us have been in situations before that we would say, whoa, this is a miracle. How did this happen? Without God intervening in some way, I should have gotten dead a few times. Some things happened that miraculous. Sometimes God does the miraculous, but a lot of the miracles that we see is simply something else. It's called providence. God provided this invisible, powerful being that helps us along our way when we're, pardon the expression, too stupid to take care of ourselves. And that's the way it works. There's angels, and we can't see them. And I don't think I'm doing damage to Scripture to saying that probably a number of times all of us have encountered angels. We didn't see them. We didn't recognize them simply because we didn't think of it. And then we talk about this other group of angels and we'll say, ooh, I was lucky. Maybe you weren't lucky. Maybe there's a thing called providence. Could it be that God has provided for us a group of invisible, intellectual, emotional, powerful created beings to help us along our way? Having said that, in that department everybody would say, well, I'm not so sure that I've ever encountered an angel. Well, I don't want to drag this too long. But there's another group of angels, and I started to think about this, and there's a verse that most of you, and I need some help, Darlene usually helps me with this. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse, is it 13? It says something like this. How does it go? Oh yeah, there's no temptation taking you, but is common to man, something like that. With the temptation is provided a means of escape. And I started thinking about this idea. When we say that, has anybody here ever been tempted? What's temptation? Temptation is when you are enticed to do something that you had not to do. Who entices you? James tells us that God doesn't tempt any man, and we better not say that God tempts anybody, because God doesn't. We're enticed and we're drawn away by our own lust. We have some enemies. The world, the flesh, what's the other one? The devil, who's he? Do you know that the devil was created the same time as Michael and Gabriel? Raphael, that's another story, I don't want to get into him. But the truth of the matter is, as I stopped and I looked at this and I thought, if I were to ask the congregation at Bethel Baptist Church, if you ever encountered an angel, almost everybody would say either no or I don't know. There have been a few times when some things have happened seem supernatural. And we like to think that God helped us. Well, God helps us and he helps us through angels. On the other side of the coin, I want you to go in your mind to Matthew chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. While he was just finishing the procedure and he was standing in the water there with John the Baptist, a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In chapter 3, moves into chapter 4. Then the devil led him into the wilderness, and the devil tempted the very Savior that came to God, manifest in the flesh. The wicked one, Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, Apollyon, Abaddon, whatever you want to call him, the devil is a fallen angel. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the truth of the matter is, as I look through this portion of Scripture, and we will look at something like this and we will think, and people will say, "Well, this is a Bible character. Her name was Mary. She encountered an angel." Do you know the truth of the matter is that God created these angels and we encounter them daily? It might not have to be recorded and so on. And have you ever thought about some of the things that either you have done or you've been tempted to do? Some of the things are just not you. I've been tempted to do things before and I've thought, where did that come from? This is something, and I've been able to counter the wicked one with, try something different because I'm not interested in that anyway. You should have, and he does. You know, he can find something that I am interested in, and we're tempted. And I thought as we look through this portion of Scripture, we sometimes, it isn't that we do damage to the text. It's just there's some things that are there that we fail to look at. The truth of the matter is we do share the universe with others. They are intellectual, they're powerful, they're invisible. God created them. They're better than us in a sense, and they're lesser than us in another sense. Can you imagine what it will be like on that day when the rapture takes place, the marriage supper of the Lamb is going on, and we're putting our rewards at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us when somebody comes to the Lord that the angels in heaven rejoice. There's something of redemption that they can't know because they can't experience it. And I thought, here we are, we're so simple that we encounter and we experience angels daily. We just fail to see it because, how could I say, we're just so used to it. We're used to these temptations that come our way over and over and over again. We have a circle of influence, we have friends, we have an enemy. And do you know that we have an enemy that will do anything that he can to cause us to fail or cause us to fall? We could be headed in the right direction and everything can be going very, very well. And as this devil, who is a fallen angel, and the experience that he has, looks at my life and he looks at your life, he looks at the situations, the circumstances that we're in, he knows exactly what to throw out there that would cause us to stumble and cause us to fall and cause us to not have victory. And one of the things I thought as I looked at this portion of Scripture the other day, we just need to be reminded a little bit that the wicked one is an angel. He's not an angel of light, he's an angel of darkness now. And God created him, and theologically speaking, so many times I've had this conversation. Why would a God who loves us create us knowing that we would fall? Why would he create an evil devil? Well, the interesting thing when you stop and think about it this morning, and this is what makes Scripture great, and this is what makes God awesome. I believe, at least, and some people agree with me, there are others who don't. Do you know that it would be possible for us to understand in any way, in any shape, in any form, on a personal level, the grace and mercy of God, if there was no such thing as sin? Number of things that we can know to a degree, but you know those things that you experience, you know them in a different way than something you may have watched someone else experience or something you may have studied or read about. On a personal level, I understand grace, I understand forgiveness, I understand mercy. Why? Because I was lost. Now, on the other hand, what the Lord wants us to be able to understand and comprehend and live through and learn is this idea of being able to overcome the temptation when it comes. And to recognize that we indeed do have an enemy. And the enemy was an enemy of the birth of Christ. Look what happened just after Christ was born. There was a group who came out and they were going to kill him. Joseph and Mary and Jesus had to move to Egypt. One angel made an announcement that the Savior was born. The other one led these men to kill him. Finally, the Lord Jesus Christ, 33 years later, went to a cross and he suffered and he bled and he died and he was buried and he rose again, he ascended, he's coming back. It's interesting to me, all through the ages, when you look at what appeared to be a victory for our enemy, the angel, the devil, was a victory of God. I could have said this in a few seconds. We've all encountered angels. We'll continue to encounter angels. Isn't it great how God works? Every once in a while, through a verse like this, we'll be reminded of Mary encountered an angel in a special way. And I think it would be good for us to perhaps recognize. Do you know Hebrews tells us that it's possible for us to entertain angels unawares? That individual, that stranger that you meet, and whatever your contact might be, biblically speaking, could be an angel. Well, the big hand is pointing straight up. That's my cue to stop. Let's pray. Thank you, our Father, again, for the few minutes that we've had together. Dear God, as we read through this portion of Scripture that an angel had spoken to Mary, I pray, dear God, that we would be reminded that time and again that angels influence us as well. And I thank you, Lord, for your creation, for your plan. I pray that we would recognize who you are, who they are, and, Father, that this wonderful redemption that's available to us through Christ. Amen.